Be'ezras Hashem b'li neder. Let's finish us together. Tonight's learning is dedicated to the Nishnas of Emoria, Rav David Sibin, Rav Yosef, and for a continued for shame of David Meir ben Mindel. Today's daf was Ksubas daf Samach Vav. We left off at the two dots at the very bottom of Samach Hamid Beis, at the words Tani Tama Kameh Derav. Agudvach to Avi, to Yosef, to Chanachenach, to David Yeshua, to Yaakov, and to Jeremy, and to Tzvika. Here we go. Tani Tama Kameh Derav. So Atana learned a brisa in front of Rav. Mitzias Ha'isha La'atzma. Tanakama says, if a girl finds something, she gets to keep it. Does not go to the husband. Rabbi Akiva Omer Labaila. Rabbi Akiva says no. When she finds him, it goes to the husband. Omer Le. So Rava said to this Tana that was talking in front of him. It doesn't mean really a Tana. Rava wasn't around. Bisman the Tana. Whoever told him this price. Hashta. Uma ha'adafa. When the woman makes extra money that she does not have to give to the husband. In Maisi Adayim. She makes Ha'adafa. She makes extra Maisi Adayim. So we say, De Maisi Adayim. That we know that this is her Maisi Adayim. And therefore, you should have said it belongs to the husband because all her Maisi Adayim belong to the husband. But if she makes extra, nevertheless, Amar Rabbi Akiva La'atzma Mitziyasa Lo Kol Shekein. Shouldn't it be a Kavah Chomer? The Rabbi Akiva should say Mitziyasa La'atzma. So how come here we see the Rabbi Akiva says that her Mitziyah goes to the husband? If Rabbi Akiva says that the extra food that she makes, which is part of her Maisi Adayim, so there's a big svar to say that she goes to the husband, and nevertheless he says it goes to her herself. So Kavah Chomer Mitziyasa, which there's even less reason to give the husband. So Kavah Chomer, it should belong to her herself. How do we know this? Disnan, because we learned in a Mishnah, Konem Shani Yosel Picha. We learned this already. Let's say a woman puts a neder. She says, I swear that my husband will not be able to benefit anything from the food that I'm, from the money that I'm making. I swear that you can't benefit from it. Einot Tzarech Lahafer. So the husband does not have to get rid of that neder because she's not allowed to say that because she owes that money to him. She can't make a nether not to give it to him. She owes it to him. So the husband has no reason to get rid of the nether because the nether is not chal in the first place. That's what Tanakama said. Rabbi Akiva Omer, no, yofer, shematatev, lov yosem in a roilov. Agudvach Yisrael Moshe, agudvach Reb Zalman. So Rabbi Akiva says, no, he should be made fair, shematatev, lov yosem in a roilov, because if she makes more money, then she's obligated to give to him. So then the neder would be chal on that because that's hers. It belongs to her. So if he wants to have an opportunity to benefit from that, he's going to have to be made for the neder. So from here you see the Rabbi Akiva holds that if she makes more money than she owed him, she gets to keep it. So if she gets to keep that kavah chomer, she should keep her own mitzia. Answers the Gemara, you're right. Ella epuch. We have to flip around the girsa. Mitzia se'isha labala. Rabbi Akiva Omer La'atzma. Rabbi Akiva, she gets to keep it. Now, ask the Gemara, really? V'haki asa Ravin, right? We keep on saying that Ravin and Rav Dimi made a trip from Eretz Yisrael to Bavel. I think Gemara always talks about what Ravin reports, usually in the name of Rav Yochanan, that happened in Eretz Yisrael. V'haki asa Ravin, when Ravin came from Eretz Yisrael to Bavel, Amar Rav Yochanan, Beha'adafa shelo al yidei adachak kulei amalu pligi debal have extra money that she made that she didn't put any like significant extra effort into it. She was just like flipping houses in real estate, so it didn't make a difference. The money just came in. It wasn't like she had to work harder for it. Just the price went up. She didn't do anything. So if it's ha'adafa shelo al yidei adachak. Everybody agrees that money goes to the husband. The only machlokas Tanakam and Rabbi Akiva is, let's say she had to work really, really, really hard, and it was hard to produce that extra money. That's where one opinion says she gets to keep it herself. So Tanakam is Sarva Labaila. Rabbi Akiva, Savala Atzma. So in the Kasha, the Gemara assumes that Mitzia is considered to be Shaloh Ayudei Adachak. Right? You don't have to work so hard to find the lost object. It's not so difficult to find. So that should be a coin to everybody. It should go to the husband. Answers the Gemara, Amar Rav Papa, no. Who says Mitzia is so easy? Says the Gemara, Papa, Mitzia is a kadav shalidei adachak tami. Most Mitzias, you have to like, maybe climb up to get them, or you have to search hard to find them. So that's like hadafa shalidei adachak, and therefore, plukta the Rabbi Akiva v'Rabbanan. So it makes sense, the Rabbi Akiva and Chacham should argue by that, because it's the same as Mitzia is actually like hadafa shalidei adachak. New kasha. Says the Gemara, Bayrav Papa. The Gemara has a couple of shilas about ha'adaf. Asasalo, shtayim bevas achas mahu. Let's say the woman did two malachas at the same time. Bayravina, shlosha o arba bevas achas. Let's say she did four malachas at the same time. She's getting paid for doing four things at the same time. What did she do? So the Rishonim explain. So she's watching a field. That doesn't require all that much effort. And at the same time, she's knitting a sweater. So she's watching a field, knitting a sweater. And at the same time, she's teaching the choir. She's like leading the choir. She's teaching girls how to sing. And she's being mechamemes beitzim b'cheka. I'm not sure how exactly she does that, but she's somehow heating up eggs like in her lap. Anyway, she's doing four malachas at the same time. So mahu. So this is clearly extra money that she's making. Who gets that extra money? Does she get it or does the husband get it? Do we say it's only when she does two malachas at the same time? So then that gets burned to the husband, but she's doing already three or four. She gets to keep that. Or maybe no. Since it's all done at the same time as the thing she owes the husband, so the husband owns all of it. Says the Gemara, Teku. When we were growing up, we used to think that Teku stood for Tishbi Yitaretz Kushios Fahabayos. That's what they used to tell us in elementary school. But I think in reality, the word Teku comes from the word Uki, Luki, Tuki. It means let it stand, Teku. Let the question stand. Let the question stand. We don't know. We don't have an answer. Now, the Mishnah said, the Mishnah quoted a machlok is about Boshe Zubagama. Boshe Upagama, so Rabbi Yehuda ben Maseira said, if it's a hidden wound, so then she gets two-thirds and the husband gets one-third. If it's a revealed wound, so the husband gets more embarrassed, so the husband gets two-thirds and she gets one-third. Ask the Gemara, Master Rabbi Baruch Hanan, Elameyata, according to Rabbi Yehuda ben Maseira, right? That was Rabbi Yehuda ben Maseira said, if it's in private, she gets two-thirds and he gets one-third. If it's in public, she gets one-third, he gets two-thirds. That was, right. Tanakama said, Boshto Pugama Shelah, right? Tanakama said she gets everything. Doesn't matter where it is. Doesn't matter what kind of wound it is. Rabbi Yehuda ben Maseira introduced this distinction, whether it's Beseser or Befarhesir. So the Gemara asks, Maskeva Rabbi Hanan, Elameata. According to Rabbi Yehuda ben Maseira, that even if the husband didn't get embarrassed, he embarrassed the wife, and yet the husband's going to get some of it. B'esh susaso shel chavero, hachanami deboi lemeisan lei, boshes. If a guy embarrassed somebody else's horse, do you mean to tell me you have to pay the husband for that? Says the Gemara, the sus bar boshesu, like, really? I mean, if you embarrass my horse, if you embarrass my horse, so you got to pay me? Generally, people don't care that much about their horse's embarrassment. So, no, you don't have to pay.
I think you compare it to a wife. No,
what's that?
He's very right. He's actually, yes.
What's that?
If you compare it to a wife, I guess. He's very a horse.
Well, we'll see in a second. No. It means the horse. No, it means the horse. The Gemara was suggesting that it doesn't make sense that when you embarrass the wife, you got to pay the husband. Because of the fact that it's not the husband. So the Gemara's answer is no, there's a very, very big difference between embarrassing somebody's horse and embarrassing their wife. We'll see. The Gemara is going to come back to this a few times. But when you embarrass somebody's horse, the husband doesn't, the owner doesn't care. But when you embarrass somebody's wife, the owner cares a lot. So it does, that's why you have to pay him. What is this? Ella, rakak bevigdo shel chaver. So what about if you spit on your friend's garment while he's wearing? So hachanami deboy lemesinle, you have to pay the guy boshes. Says Mark, well maybe yes. Vechite mahachanami vatanan rakak vigia boharok. If you spit at somebody and it lands on their body, upara rosha isho. Let's say you go to a woman and rip her sheitel off in public. They have your talis and bimenu, or you go, in those days you used to wear one big garment, one tunic. You go to a guy, you take his whole garment off, so he's stark naked in the middle of the street. So you embarrassed him. Chayev litin lo arba meo zuz. Woo! Got to give him 400 zuz. Amarav papaloshana el bo. That's only if you spit on the body. Aval bebigdo putter. So what's the difference if it's bebigdo? So you don't have to pay him. So how come? It's like a grumma. As the question is, by embarrassing his wife, it's like a grumma to embarrassing him. So you see over here, if it's just a grumma, you don't have to pay. Says the Gemara, what are you comparing? Bibigdo, less lazy lusa. If you spit on his garment, so it's not such an embarrassment to him. Actually, the Gemara is saying that the beged itself doesn't get any embarrassed. Ishto is lazy lusa. But the woman, when you spit on the woman, so she herself is getting embarrassed. So once she herself is getting embarrassed, a little chelak goes to the husband. Ask the Gemara. Amalei Ravina Ravashi El Me'ato Biyesh Ani Ben Tovim De'islei Zilusa L'kul B'nei Mishpacha Hachanami De'boi L'meisim Boshos L'chol B'nei Mishpacha. If you embarrass an Ani who comes from a very chashiv of a family, so the whole family is now embarrassed. You got to pay all of them. Ask the Gemara. Amalei, no. Hasam Lav Gufayu. You didn't actually embarrass the Krovim. You embarrassed the Ani. Hacha ishto gufe havoi. Ah, when you embarrass my wife, you embarrassed me. It's ishto kegufo. So therefore, that's why you got to pay the husband when you embarrass the wife, because they're mamish like one unit. Okay, let's continue. Says the Mishnah, new Mishnah. Haposek mos lechasano. So at the engagement, in the days of the Gemara, the Erusin took place a year before the Nisuin. So at the Erusin, the father-in-law promises to give X amount of dollars to his future son-in-law. Haposek mos lechasano. Umeis chasano. The son-in-law died before the wedding. Amru chacham yochel shem l'achicha yisirot zlitein l'cha yiev shilitein. And now she falls for Yibum to the brother. So the Shaila is, does the father-in-law still have to pay the money that he committed to the first husband? Does he have to now give that money to the second husband? Says the Gemara, the father-in-law can say, that guy I was willing to have my daughter marry. To you? You, the brother? I didn't want her to marry you. Okay, you got to do Yibum, but I ain't giving you the money. So he's not mechuyev to give him the money. Paskal lahachnas lo elef dinar hu posek connect on chamesh esrei money. Wow, says the Gemara, if the father-in-law obligated himself to bring a dowry of 1,000 dinars, the husband has to write into the ksuba 1,500. One third more, 50% more, which the Gemara calls it one third, because it ends up being one third of the total. 500 is one third of 1,500. Why? Because the husband is going to make a lot of money with this stuff. He's going to use all this money to make money. So she has to give him back 1,500. Oh, what's the obvious question? What about ribbis? Why is the problem of ribbis? So Rashi says the reason why you got to give back 1,500 is because the husband's going to use the money the whole time they're married, and he's going to make a lot of money, so he's got to pay her back interest. So ask the Rishonim, why isn't this ribbis? He got 1,000, he's given back 1,500? That sounds like ribbis, no? This week's Parsha. Ooh, daf yomi coincidence. Ooh. We just read it today. It's interesting. I said in the Parsha Shir, Rabbi Mordechai was there and Avi was there. I said in the Parsha Shir on Thursday night that in Rav Lopiansky's Sefer, he quotes, I forgot who he quotes from, that why is it mutter to give ribbis to a guy, charge a guy ribbis, and a Jew you're not allowed to charge ribbis? Sounds like the Torah is like racist. We're like, we're allowed to charge just the guy? What's the shot? So he quotes, I think it's Rabbeinu Bechaya who says, I think it's either Rabbeinu Bechaya or Sefer Achinuch or the Rambam Mor Nevuchim, one of them, I forgot who says it. But anyway, he says that charging interest, that's not a bad thing to do. All of business works this way. I'm lending you money, so you could take the money, make money. I could have been making the money with that. I lend you the money. Why shouldn't I be able to benefit off the fact that you're making money? Give me a percentage. Why can't I get a percentage? Why is that a bad thing? So to Goyim, you're allowed to, because it's not like stealing. It's not like a negative thing, interest. To a Jew, there's an extra level of chesed that a person has to do. It's like a chesed that he's supposed to do to a Jew and let him use the money to make money. That's a chesed. It's not like a thing that makes sense. Al pi svara, I got a lot of money. You need money. So I'm going to lend you the money. You're going to make $1 million with my money. I don't get it. I shouldn't get a piece of that. So it's not to a guy that we're prejudiced against the guy, so you're allowed to charge interest. That's the way normal business works. Every bank works that way. You borrow money from the bank to make money. You got to pay back interest on that. That's not a bad thing. It's not nasty. That's the normal way the world works. To not charge interest, that's an extra chesed. Anyway.
If the Jew doesn't need the chesed, can you still...
What's that?
If the Jew does not need the chesed, can you charge interest?
There's a heteriska. That's the whole heteriska, right? That's why there's a heteriska. So let's see. So the Mordechai answers in the name of Rav Shmuel ben Rav Baruch. Since had he divorced her right away, he also would have had to pay the 1500. So it's not because of extending the time. Interest means I'm borrowing this thing for a certain amount of time, get it back. But here, even if you divorced her tomorrow, you didn't get a chance to use the money, you still have to pay back the 1500. So it's not interest. Ribbis is only when you extend time. There's other answers, but the kasha is better than the answers. Anyway, let's continue. So, ukeneged hashum, if she brings into the marriage things that you have to evaluate the price, like garments or dishes, hu posek pachos chomesh. He writes into the ksuba 1/5 less than the value that they evaluated at. Why is that? Two reasons. Because the evaluators who would evaluate the stuff of the women coming into the marriage would generally exaggerate the price by an extra fifth. Why would they do that? For two reasons. Number one, that this girl should be beloved on the husband, so they would like jack up the price a little bit. So they should say, oh, look, this girl, she's bringing in so much stuff into the marriage. And they tend to go down in value over time. That's the other reason, that these things tend to go down in value. So he writes at a lower price for two reasons. First of all, they jack up the price falsely. Second of all, even if the price was the right price, it tends to lose value over time. So he writes into the ksuba 1/5 less of the price. Shum bimane, v'shave mane ein lo'ela mane. However, if nobody jacked up the price, and if it's something that doesn't usually go down in value, so then he writes it in the ksuba for the exact amount that it really is. They didn't jack up the price. Shum bimane, however, if it's a shum bimane, if there's an evaluation he accepted as a mane, and we don't really know what this would be worth in the marketplace, he no senes shloshim ve'echad sela v'dinar. If he wrote in a money, so she has to give him something worth a money and a quarter. Something, again, we said that he writes 80%. The Gemara is going to ask, this just repeated what we said before about the 80%. This is just an 80%. The Gemara is going to ask that, why did it repeat it? And then the Gemara repeats it, the Mishnah repeats it another two times. Uba'arba meos, hino senes chamesh meos. If he wrote in the ksuba 400, she's got to give him 500. For the same reasons. Something that's evaluated as 500. Again, this is all saying, he writes in 80% of what she gives to him. And now just said it a third time. And now it's going to say it a fourth time. She chasan posek Ma shechasan posek, hu posek pachas chomesh. Whatever is written to him, he always writes in the ksuba 1/5 less. So Mamar said the same thing 4 times. So the Gemara is going to ask why the Mishnah says the same thing 4 times. Zokta Gemara, Tana Rabbanan, a rabbi said the Raisa, Ein sarach lomar, Rishon tamul chacham v'sheini ama aretz. What was the first case? That if the father-in-law agreed to give a certain money to the marriage, and the first husband dies, he could say, I only wanted to give it to the first guy, but to the brother, I wasn't willing to give the money. Not, this doesn't only apply when the first guy was a Tamil Chacham and the second one was an Eisvarv. El Afilu Rishon Amaretz, even if the first guy was Amaretz, Visheni Tamil Chacham, the second one is clearly a much more respected young man. Yochalom Elachichisi Nosein, Rotzalitain, Ulacha Yevshilitain. I didn't want to give to you. Yeah, why not? Why not? The Tamil Chacham, isn't that an indication that he much would rather have a Tamil Chacham? Well, apparently not every father-in-law wants a son-in-law as a Tamil Chacham. Maybe that's part of the answer. So the Meiri writes that, first of all, maybe, forget about it, he's a Tamil Chacham, but maybe he has bad midos, the second guy. He might be a Tamil Chacham, but just because you're a Tamil Chacham doesn't mean you have good midos. So maybe the reason why the father-in-law won't like it, he's a bigger Tamil Chacham. That's the Meiri writes, but he has bad midos. And even if he has refined midos, maybe he knows something else about him that he doesn't like. And the Rambam adds that the halacha is this way, even if the daughter is very happy with this guy, and she likes the guy, and she wants to do yibum. Anyway, says the Gemara, Paskal hachzo elef dinar, and then it said in the second case, he gives 31, whatever it is, because the 31 is right, usually 31, if you do the math, the 31 is worth 120, 125 dinar. So if he wrote in 100, so you have to write 125. Says, high in a ratio. Case 2 is the same as case 1. You basically said, if they bring in stuff that was evaluated, you write it to the ksuma 80% of what was originally brought in. Says the Gemara, and not only that, not only high in a ratio, the Mishnah says it 4 times. Says the Gemara, Tana Shuma Rabba, Uktani Shuma Zuta, Tani Shuma Dide, Uktani Shuma Dida. You know why you need 4 of them? Because one was a very large amount, the thousands of those, and then there was a smaller amount. Because you might have thought that the halacha doesn't apply, that maybe you can make more money with the larger amount, but by a smaller amount, you're not going to make as much money. So that's it. No, it's always 80%. And it also talks about if he got the evaluation or if she got the evaluation, maybe there might have been a difference. Why would there be a difference? That's talking about where she already brought in the nechassim before the husband wrote it into the ksuba. And the last case is where first the husband wrote it and then she goes to get it evaluated. So all 4 of these cases we say, it's got to only be 80%. New Mishnah. Paskal lahachnis lo ksafim. Let's say she says she's bringing in money for the dowry. So Sala Nasi Shisha Diru. Wow. So a Sala is usually 4 dinars. Dinars. So if she writes in that she's bringing money in of 4 dinars, he's got to write it into the Ksuba as 6. 1/3 more. Like we said in the last Mishnah. 1,000 becomes 1,500. Right? This is the same thing. So the Gemara's going to ask the same Kasha. Why do I need it? I already know it from the last Mishnah. The Gemara's going to ask that Kasha. I'm glad you asked. Hechasan mekabel alav asara dinim lekubel chomana mana. For every $100 that she brings into the dowry, the husband obligates himself $10 a year. The Gemara is going to say for her perfume. Rav Shem Gamliel Omer hakol kaminig medina. There is no set value for how much that is. It all depends on what the minim of the town is. Says the Gemara. Why do you need 4 dinars to 6 dinars if in the last Mishnah you had 1,000 to 1,500? It's the Zelabazah. It says, Gemara, Tanei Eskarabah, Tanei Eskazuta. One is by a large amount, and one's by a small amount. So the Moritz Tzricha, you need both. The Tanavis Karaba, the Nafish Ravcha. You're going to make a lot of money, so you got to add a third. Avol Iska Zuta, the Zuta Ravcha. You're not going to make as much money. Aim alone. Tzricha, yesh, meaning Iska Zuta, the Zuta Ziyuna. It's not so much responsibility. Avol Iska Rabba, the Nafish Ziyuna, you have a lot of responsibility. Aim alone, man, I don't have to add. Tzricha. Says the Mishnah, Chasam Nekabla Lov Asara Dina Lekupa. The Chasam accepts upon himself 10 dinim for Kupa. Yeah, what does Kupa mean? My Kupa? Amaravashi Kupa Shel B'Samim. It means a box of spices, like perfumes, for her to smell nice. Amaravashi Lanem Dvarim Halalu Ela B'Yerushalayim. In Jerusalem, the women like to smell nice. By Ravashi, b'mana ha-nishom or b'mana ha-miskabel? So the Gemara wants to know, this that we said that he gives the 10 dinars of besamim for every 100, is that talking about the 100 original money or the 80% of the 100? Right, so is it if they evaluated the stuff that she's bringing in to be worth 100, so do you do it connected to 100? Does it have to be 100 on the way in, or has to be 125, which ended up being 100? So 80%. Imtim's lo manah miskabel yom rishon o kol yom v'yom. Does he have to give her the whole money for the besamim on the first day of the wedding, and she uses it until she finishes it up? Oh, kol yom v'yom. He gives it to her day by day. Imtim Salama kol yom v'yom. Shabbos Rishona, every day is just every day of the first week. Oh, kol Shabbos Shabbos. He's got to give her perfume every day of every week. Imtim Salama kol Shabbos Shabbos. Chodesh Rishon. Oh, kol Chodesh V'Chodesh. Just the first month they're married, or every month they're married. Imtim Salama kol Chodesh V'Chodesh. Shana Rishona. Oh, kol Shana Rishona. Teku on all of them. And usually the Rambam paskins like Imtim Saloma. So I wonder if the Rambam over here, I wonder how the Rambam paskins. Let's continue. Amar Rav Yehuda Marav. Maise Bebito Shanachimim Ben Gurion. Nachimim Ben Gurion was a very wealthy guy. So Maise happened with his daughter. Shepaskala Chachamim. Her husband died, and she was getting money from the property. Arba male zehuvim lekupa shel besam lebo bayom. Wow, 400 gold coins for the perfume for the first day. Amra lahem. So the rabbis were like surprised. I mean, the rabbis paskened her. I mean, she was very wealthy, so she was used to having all this perfume. So the rabbis paskened. So she said to them, "Kach tifseku l'bnoseichem. I want to give you a bracha that you should also have daughters that marry wealthy, and you should have to pasken this to them as well." V'anu acharei amen. They did answer Ami. Now, we had the same story a couple of daf ago where they did not answer Ami because she was a Shomeris Yavam at the time, and they didn't answer Ami because they didn't want to give an ayin hara that their daughters should be a Shomeris Yavam. But over here, they did answer Ami. So what's going on? What, they want their husband to die? They want their sons to die? They want the son-in-laws to die? So the Shita Mukubetsa says to Kasha, earlier was on daf. It was yesterday's daf. Well, yesterday's daf. So yesterday's daf, the Chachamim didn't answer Amin to the daughter-in-law of Nachim Ben Gurion because she was a Shemeres Yom. That's bad. But here, that her husband died and she was not a Shemeres Yom, that's not such a big issue because everyone's going to die at some point in time. So it's not a curse. So says the Shittim Gubetzes V'das Rashi. And Tosis says no. Her husband did not die, and that's why they answered Amen. I saw an interesting discussion in the poskim here about whether or not it's appropriate to buy a grave when you're still alive. Is that like an ayin hara? I always thought it was like a school of arichas yamim. That's what they say. What?
Were you planning?
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. So, is that appropriate? So the question is, they were nervous to say, kach tiv skulu b'noseichem. There is a question about whether she meant this as a blessing or a curse. The Maharshal says her kavana was to curse them. Because this amount was considered to be something small. Others say no, her intention was to bless them. They should have a lot. Anyway, let's continue. Says the Gemara. Tana Rabbana. Ma'aseh Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai shei rochav al hachamor. Story have Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai was riding on a donkey by Yosef Yerushalayim. He was leaving Jerusalem. Maybe this is when they were hiring him and taking him out of Jerusalem to Yavne. I think that's when this was, Bizman HaChorban, as you'll see. The students were walking after him, right? Tainli Yavne v'chachamel. Ro riba achas, shayisim laket esom mibin gololi b'emnishel arvim. He saw a young maiden, a young girl, who was collecting barley to eat from amongst the dung of Arabs' animals. Kevin Shiraso, so she saw Yochanan Zakkai, Nis'atfa b'sara v'amdu l'fanav. So she hid her face with her hair and stood in front of him. Why did she hide her face with her hair? Some say that she hid her face and therefore her hair was not considered to be erva, because it's only when you can see the face that the hair is erva. That's what some say. Some of the Achronim want to bring a raya from here that it's mutter to wear a shetel. I'm not sure what the raya is, but anyway. Maybe it means that she took fake hair. Nisatra bisara. Amalo Rebbe Parnaseni. Look at me. I'm collecting the barley from among the dung of Arabs' animals. Give me food. Amalo Biti Miat, who are you? Amalo Bas Nakdim Ben Gurion. I'm the daughter of Nakdim Ben Gurion. Amalo Biti Mamon Shel Beis Avich Heichan Halach. Where did your father's money go? You were so rich. Amalo Rebbe Lo Kedain Maslan Masla B'Yushalayim Malach Mamon. Chaser. A person tries to salt his money and he doesn't give tzedakah, he's going to end up losing all of his money. Pshh. Try to salt your money. Amrila chesed. Some say the way to keep your money is, I'm sorry, malach mamon chaser. First thing is, the way to keep your money, the way to salt your money is, give tzedakah. Chaser, meaning lose your money, give it to tzedakah. The other opinion is, chesed. Do chesed. You want to keep, you want to do chesed. And Nakdim Ben Gurion's daughter said, my dad did not give tzedakah, and my dad didn't do chesed, and that's why he lost all his money. Whoa.
Isn't he the guy that dug the water holes for?
Was that him? Nakdim Magurin? Yeah, he did, yeah. Good kasha. We'll get to your kasha in a second. Sfika asked, didn't we learn, I think, in Erevin or Shkalov somewhere, we learned that he was the one who dug the wells? Where's Mordechai when we need him? Wasn't Nakdim Magurin the one who dug the wells for the Ole Regel? So what do you mean he didn't do chesed? The guy dug, no, it wasn't him? Mordechai says it wasn't him. We'll see, he did other chesedim. We'll see in a second. We'll see in a second. Hang on one second. Let's see. Says the Gemara, asked Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai, Vishel Beis Chamich, what about your father-in-law's money? Heichan hu. It was famous that your father-in-law had made a huge dowry. Amalo, Bozeh v'ibidezeh. My father's money made my father-in-law's money lose, because it all got mixed together. Amalo Rebbe, Zachar atah kishachasamt al ksubasi. See, she said to Rabbi Yochanan Zakkai, do you remember when you signed on my ksuba? There was so much money there. Amalahen, Latamidov. Rabbi Yochanan Zakkai turned to his students and he said, There was so much money. Lost it all because he didn't do tztaka and didn't do chesed. Bachar Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai v'amar, Ashreichem Yisrael, b'zman she'osim ritzono shel makom, ein kol uma v'losh sheles behem. B'zman she'ein osim ritzono shel makom, mosim b'yad uma shfela, like the Arabs. V'lo b'yad uma shfela, ela b'yad behemten shel uma shfela. Tzikas kasha. V'nakdiv megurin lo avat tztaka. Nachdim Megur didn't do any chesed, didn't do tzaka. V'atadya, Amar lo Nachdim Megur, she'yosim beiso lebeis ha-medrash, klei melas, hayu matziin tachtov, uboin aniin u'mekapen osam me'achrov. And the aniim used to take the silk garments and used to walk on. He was a big bal chesed. Two answers. Iboy say mel chvayda Yehuda Ovid. Wow. No, he did it only for his own covet. I asked the Marsha, didn't we learn the Gemara Rosh Hashanah that a person is allowed to give tzedakah kadesha yichya bini, is a tzaddik gomer? So here we did chesed, but so the Marsha answers that no, you're allowed to give tzedakah so that somebody should get better, that a sick person get better, but to give tzedakah that you should get covered, that you're not allowed to do. That you're not allowed to do, and you lose. That's the worst. Covet is the worst thing. And if you give tzedakah for your own covet, so then the tzedakah is worthless. So says the Marsha. If Iba Yisema l'chvodu dav, Iba Yisema, k'dibay le'lemebad le'avad, he didn't give enough tzedakah. He gave, but he didn't give what he was really worth. K'damre inche, l'fum gamla shichna. However strong the camel is, that's how big a load you could put on the camel. The stronger camel, you could put a stronger load. The not such a strong camel, that load. So if Nachdim Megurin was a gvir, then he's got to give tzedakah like a gvir. He didn't give tzedakah like a gvir. He was punished and lost all his money.
Rabbi, did this girl have any responsibility to give tzedakah herself? She's spending 400 dinar a day on perfume? And she's blaming it all on her dad?
It's a good question. It's a good question. I'm going to read one more line of the Gemara and then we'll stop. I don't know what it was. It's a good question.
Rabbeinu was 100% right. The Gemara in Taimus on your test on the base says that I didn't bring grain and I dug 12 wells in the time of the
time. It's Tzvika. Don't mess with Tzvika. It wasn't me. It was Tzvika. You think I remember anything from what I learned? This is Tzvika.
Well, Tzvika said it. But Rabbeinu, when there was a drought on Adir Ben Gurion, or maybe we have a little tain on it, Stucker sat in his Osek and Tfila, and Miyad, the heavens opened up and it started pouring. So Adir Ben Gurion was probably a big salad. The question was listening to his tools.
Yeah. I guess maybe that happened later.
Which is the same answer like it.
He did it for his own covet. Tanya, Rabbi Elazar Reb Tzadik, Erev Nechama. She was collecting barley in between the horses. That if you don't keep Torah mitzvahs, you're going to end up having to look behind the animals to find your food. Like we saw with the Dura Migurin. Okay, Rabbi Yosef, we will stop here. Everyone have a great night. Tomorrow morning, 7 o'clock, 7 a.m. tomorrow morning. Live and in person.
Thank you, Rabbi. Great class.
Thank you.
Thank you, Rabbi.